With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
It's time for the Falling for Basketball podcast, coming to you live from, yeah, that Greenville and, oh, that Vancouver. Get on your feet and get loud for Brandon Gray and Antonio K.O.
Hey, 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 hey. Oh.
Let's do it again. Hi,
welcome to another Falling for Basketball. Only a few more left.
People better hope that they have fallen at this point. Have you even fallen yet? I don't know.
I want to know. Has anybody fallen for basketball because of our podcast? Have we accomplished what we have shot out to do? Have we gotten any emails?
Ooh, I've seen zero. Let's go into the bag.
We're going to the mailbag, everybody. While you're doing that, I will pull up our Apple Podcast reviews.
Ooh.
Read some of those. We've got a handful of those.
Hey, I wonder what the password for this thing is.
I love the whole idea behind this podcast. I'm a mom to a basketball-loving kid and a wife to a basketball coach. Feel like I'm finally starting to understand and enjoy. I think that classifies as falling.
Yeah.
The game. Thanks, guys. Also a Wolves fan, but still love you guys. LOL. Did we knock the Wolves at some point?
I knock the Wolves every chance I get. I know exactly who that is.
That's funny.
I apologize.
Yeah, we got some nice reviews. That's so kind. Yeah. People are kind. All right, let's get to it. Big to talking. For as wild as these playoffs have been, and they have been wild, we have two series. Both conference finals are tied. And by tied, I mean they're the same.
Yeah.
The series aren't tied.
The series
are both 3-0.
What?
The Nuggets beating the Lakers 3-0. And then the one we all picked, the Heat, up against the Celtics 3-0.
This is weird for a few reasons.
Go ahead.
This is weird for a few reasons. One of which is... I don't know the stats behind this, and you know, we don't do stats on this show, but I don't know how often it happens that East and West is a blowout. Like these are supposed to be the two best teams in their conferences, and to be down 3-0 on both sides at the same time, it doesn't feel like that happens very frequently, right? Like they're usually much more evenly matched, and these teams on paper should be evenly matched. The other thing that's kind of weird about this is that to be down 3-0, that means that you either lost one at home or two at home. Boston Celtics lost two at home. The Lakers have lost one at home. So often in the playoffs, you expect the home team to win. That's never surprising. You know, even if you feel like the teams are not evenly matched, home teams should be able to protect
at least one.
At least one. And, you know, we're about to see if the Lakers can steal their last home game before getting annihilated. Boston has given up at home and given up on the road, it looks like. And I just sent you a a stat, an infographic, a meme before we went on that Joe Mazzulla's, what's that?
Head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Head coach of the Boston Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, who is young. He's the same age, it turns out, as Jimmy Butler. And his college career ended at the hands of Jimmy Butler's Marquette team. Jimmy Butler bounced him out of the NCAA tournament, which effectively was his last chance to be seen by scouts. We'll make this story more than it is. I don't think it's actually this, but Jimmy Butler ruined Joe Mazzulla's chances at the NBA.
Will he ruin his coaching career too?
Dun, dun, dun. You're fired, Joe. Oh, Jimmy's so
Let's
mean.
Start. Let's start in the East.
I don't know.
The eighth seed, Miami Heat, a team that went into the play-in series and lost the first play-in game. Yep. Won the second to make the play-in, to make the
playoffs.
They
won the second in the last 2 minutes. They were losing the whole game up until the last, like, what, two minutes?
Yeah. And they went into the playoffs. They beat the Bucks easily. They beat the Knicks have been the hardest competition for them.
Which makes no sense.
And that wasn't even that bad. And they're playing the Celtics, and it's just like, what are we watching? I don't even really know what to make of this. I have thoughts. My thoughts are that Joe Mazzulla is getting out-coached in just about every aspect. There are things happening down the stretch of these games, especially in games one and two, that I was just like, why? What are you doing? And I'm just so fascinated. Like, if you watch the Miami Heat play, and Jimmy does some isolation work, but a lot of the Heat offense is what you would expect an NBA offense to be, which is playing through the pass. We're passing the ball. We're going inside. We're working back out, and the Celtics just aren't doing that. By and large, they just don't pass the ball. Yeah. And I don't want to simplify it and make it as stupid as this, but what if they just start passing the ball?
Right?
Have we thought about this?
Has anyone talked about this?
Passing the ball?
Just once. Like, just make this rule, like, once every so often, pass the ball.
Yeah, just pass the ball. Can you pass the ball, Antonio?
I think I can figure it out. I've heard chest pass, bounce pass.
Oh, yeah, dude. Pass. Hey, just pass the ball.
Pick one. Yeah, just give it from one player to the other and see what happens.
So, and I don't know if
but they weren't like that last year.
That easy. Yeah.
It might be. But last year they passed the ball.
Yeah.
Last year it didn't feel like it was an ISO dominant game. It wasn't one player trying to beat everybody else. And like, I just
Do you feel
I don't have that many
Do you
theories.
Feel like he's lost the team? Do you feel like it like,
For sure. I think, like, but I think it's deeper than that, though. I'm not totally convinced that it's all the coach. Because yes, he's being outcoached. Is that his fault? No, he's facing Spo. Eric Spoelstra is like, let's just say best coach in the league.
Spoelstra.
Spoelstra. I'm trying to pronounce every letter in there.
You put a little zing in there. No, I liked it.
Spoelstra.
I don't know. Is that how they pronounce it up in Canada?
I don't know.
You guys do your own thing.
Nobody says
there?
His name. We don't care about him up in Canada.
We don't care.
He's not our coach.
He's been one of the. It's crazy, though. He's been a high efficiency coach for what seems years. Like forever. And he doesn't get the love that he. Like, he's one of the best out there.
Yes.
And you try to ignore it, but.
But there's a reason why he doesn't get the love. And, like, I stand by the reason. He came into the league on a LeBron team. Not only on a LeBron team, on the greatest LeBron team ever assembled on paper. Like, he had the decision LeBron with D-Wade, with Chris Bosh, with, like, every other vet on the planet. If he went on to lose that, which he did in the first year, it would have been, like, he would have been laughed out of the league forever. And then they got rid of LeBron and everybody else, and it went back to being a normal team, and he stayed good. But it was hard to pay attention to the fact that he stayed good because you just didn't care about Miami. And it just like, it's always just kind of felt like a fluke. in a weird way. Even though it hasn't been, he's an exceptional coach. But you're just like, yeah, I don't know. You had the LeBron team and then you just copy-paste it forward, which is not what happened. But I think that's why it's easy to write off his greatness.
Yeah. For me, yeah, at least. But you have thoughts. So have been watching these games, what's kind of your feeling?
Yeah, so I don't think it's Joe. I mean, sorry, I should rephrase that. I don't think it's only Joe. I think that it was expected that he was going to get out-coached by Spo. But I think that something has shifted in the locker room just amongst the players. There's a very weird on-court lack of camaraderie, it seems like, this year compared to how they were last year. Last year when I watched Boston, they really felt like a cohesive unit. They really cared for each other. They really like rallied around the this was our first time and this was magical. Like there was something magical about the season. And it feels like they're trying to chase an answer rather than build on something that they learned, right? Like it's like they want to recapture last year's magic, but last year's gone. You know what I mean? Like that's not where we're at. It's a different set of circumstances, a different set of everything. And so it just feels like in crunch time, they're like bouncing the ball to Tatum and being like, Tatum, save us. And there's too much pressure being put on this guy. And he is able to do it at times, but when he falters, there are no supporting pieces. Like it feels like they lost confidence in their understanding of winning. And I feel like we've been seeing that all playoffs and we've been kind of like dancing around it. And we're like, when are they going to turn a corner? When are they going to turn a corner? And I think what actually happened is somewhere during the season this year or at the end of last season, they turned the corner. We just didn't realize they turned the other way.
That was really good right there. That was a good line.
Deep. That was deep.
You've been working on that all day. You didn't hold that. You even kind of thinking through how you want to say that. That was really good.
I reworded that like nine times.
They turned the corner. We just didn't realize. They turned the other way.
The other way.
I do feel like there's definitely a disconnect there. Like we talked. So in game two, a big turning point in game two. Now games one and two were close, and the Celtics could have had it, and ultimately they just didn't have it down the stretch. And that's where, like, down the stretch especially, is where I see like things are happening on the court where I'm just like, why are you not making changes? Why are you not calling a timeout? There are things on the stretch that are just driving me nuts. And if I was a Celtics fan, I'd be yelling at the TV. But like down the stretch, we have Grant Williams, Jimmy Butler. They get into this thing, right?
Amazing.
And Grant Williams gets fiery, gets in Jimmy's grill. Jimmy gets in his grill, the forehead, they're yelling, blah, blah, blah. After that moment, Jimmy Butler went off, went crazy, and everybody was like, oh, see, he poked the bear. Grant Williams poked the bear. Yeah. That was the whole narrative. And while, yes, I do think, read a book. There are some guys you don't piss off in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Jimmy Butler is one of those guys.
Yeah.
But this is the disconnect here, is they're like, none of the Celtics players are like, that's our guy. That's the fire we're looking for. That's the fire we're looking for. On the court, they're all just kind of like, after the game, they're at the reporters are asking the players about, and they're like, next comment, like next question. No comment.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
He is giving, like, Grant Williams. Was it a smart move? Maybe not.
Sure.
But at least he has fire.
He's doing something.
You can't tell me that in game three. Mm-hmm. The reason that the Celtics came out with absolutely no energy, they came out flat, they came out with no fire. The fire is gone because one player on their team said, I'm gonna give you something. I'm going to give you a spark. And the rest of the players said, we don't want any of that. We don't want any of that. We literally don't want that smoke because
it's so weird. We
can't. That's just not what we're going to do. And I think once you kind of threw water on that fire, There's no coming back and being like, yeah, we're gonna play with that Grant Williams type of energy because everybody poo-pooed on Grant Williams.
Yeah, and last year the person who was bringing that kind of energy a lot was Marcus Smart, right? He was like their bulldog, and even this year Marcus Smart is, I don't know, a golden retriever. Like, what do we do? Something's changed. I think that's dead on. I think that's dead on. I think like we watched that player in game two try to. It was a lifeline or something like that. It was a life vest. It was like, well, I'm going to save you guys. And no one. No, there was room for one on the door of the Titanic, right? Like Grant Williams was on the door, and the rest of them just sank.
Yeah, that one wasn't as good as your other
DiCaprio.
One,
poor DiCaprio.
But, but I like where you're going. I like you're trying these zingers.
I'm more just like the image. I liked the image as I said it of Grant Williams on that door.
And, he's got his head
just like
head to the top of the door.
Yeah. And Tatum's just hanging on. He's like, no, he just falls into the water.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is tough. I don't know.
It's a depressing series. You know what else is really frustrating, and I hope it's frustrating you too, is that the more Miami is winning, the more I'm like, yeah, this is really good basketball to watch. And once you got me into like, this is good basketball to watch thing, then I can't dislike your team as much as I'm trying to. You know, like, I'm a Jimmy fan. I'm a Lowry fan.
I love Jimmy. I just like most of the players
on that team. I'm a Bam fan. I'm just mad that they could have been playing like this all season and didn't.
I literally had
this. I'm principled mad.
Fourth quarter of game two, I'm watching and I'm like, I think I like this team.
Yeah, because they're really likable. The way they play basketball the right way. You have a bunch of undrafted dudes who are hungry.
Not playing the entire regular season. There you go.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. This is what I'm mad about. This is what I'm mad about is that every game that we've watched them just destroy the other team, you walk away and you say, that was beautiful basketball. And then you go back to March or whatever month it was, and you're like, why? I saw those games. Those were terrible. Some of the worst games to watch in the NBA. How do you make that swing? Jimmy didn't care. Nobody cared regular season. They all knew that they could end up in 10th place and skate their way into the playoff, which they actually still almost missed. And then just turn it on. Just turn the engines on.
Do you know the answer to this? Assuming that the Heat make it to the NBA Finals, which it would be groundbreaking if the Celtics came back. Do you know how many, or if ever, an eighth seed has ever made the NBA Finals?
I have no idea.
I know the answer. I know the answer.
You do know the answer. I'm assuming that it has happened. I'm kind of assuming that it has happened. I don't know if that's a smart assumption or not, but I in my recollection, the only team that I can think of in recent times that might have fallen into that category was that Golden State team, but I don't think they made it to the finals. That Baron Davis Golden State team that started off in eighth, and they had like a Cinderella win in the first round and the second round. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember them going further. The 1999 New York Knicks made it to the NBA Finals.
That's 1999. Okay. Who's
and
that?
And a fun fact
Raptors
for
started
you,
in 95.
Sure.
A fun I'm just trying to think of like who was playing on that team.
They are the eighth seed.
Uh-huh.
In the first round, they play the one seed. The one seed that they beat, the Miami Heat.
Amazing. So was this like Alonzo Mourning's Miami Heat and Patrick Ewing's New York Knicks? Is this that far back? Because in 95, 96, 97, we would have had Charles Oakley on the Raptors. So it can't really be Patrick Ewing. It has to be John Starks and
Jeff Van Gundy as the coach.
Yeah, that tracks. This is post Latrell. Latrell.
Marcus Camby.
Uh-huh, ex-Raptor.
Patrick Ewing, Allen Houston, okay. Larry Johnson, Dennis Scott, Latrell Sprewell.
Uh-huh, so that's that team. This is the choking team. Yeah. do you remember that story of Latrell Sprewell choking Jeff Van Gundy? Or, wait, Jeff?
I thought
Jeff
he... Gundy, yeah. I thought
oh,
he,
no, it was PJ Carlissimo.
Choked. Yeah.
PJ Carlissimo, yeah.
Ugh, what a time. What a time. Yeah, they...
I can't remember if that was... What team was that? That was on New York. Yeah, that was the end of PJ's time there, I think.
Spurs beat them in the finals 4-1. Which reminds me, we have to talk about the San Antonio Spurs getting the number one pick.
Did they?
I
read somewhere
that
being a Spurs fan is probably as close to being born wealthy that a lot of people will experience.
I'll just say this. I obviously I wish the Magic got the number one pick. I'm fine. We have the 6 and 11. It'll be fun to see what we do with it. Blah blah blah.
I think you're gonna trade them.
I do too. I'm a Greg Popovich fan, and yep. he's coming towards the end of his career slash life. And the idea of him having one more like fun run, like this one more protege. Big guy in the history of Greg Popovich coaching career, like
it's pretty
that's
incredible.
Fun, and it makes me happy. Well,
he just started working out with Tim Duncan.
It's fantastic. Wendy. Great. I love it.
It's outrageous. I'm curious to see what they do with him because positionally he can literally play anywhere on the court. Like he has the right skill set for almost all the positions. He's not a perfect point guard, obviously, but he's not useless with the ball in his hands. I'm just curious if they're going to make him a small forward, a power forward, or a center, like how they're going to use him.
It just makes me nervous anytime somebody is like, this is a sure thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because it's just not, like, it's not a sure thing. He's a giant guy with giant legs. They don't have a great track record.
No,
and I'm just he's obviously, like, I've watched enough of him to be like, he is obviously a fun watch.
Yeah.
But everybody is like, he's going to be the guy. And I'm just like, I don't know. I haven't seen, like, who was the last guy that was that tall?
It was LeBron.
That going into the draft, everybody's like, that's the guy. And then kind of teetered out. The closest thing I can think of is like Kristaps Porzingis. Like that was like,
sure,
this guy could be something special, and he could have been, but he struggled with injuries.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Kristaps Porzingis' first year where he was doing all those putback dunks over people. Woo! That was amazing.
No,
I also remember that draft where New York City cried and booed. I think that really Porzingis'
career. They cry and boo for everybody they draft.
Every pick they've ever had.
Yeah.
Worst.
So anyway, that'll be fun to watch. So let's the Eastern. Both the Heat are going to win. I would be.
It's curious if it's going to be a sweep.
I'd honestly be shocked if it wasn't a sweep.
Me too. I the game that they played last night, it felt like a real. They gave up. It just felt like they gave up.
Games 1 and 2. The Celtics did not play bad. They were in the game. They just got outplayed down the stretch.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to play better than that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Heat play worse, really. They've been probably one of the most consistent teams in the playoffs.
They're doing the same thing in the playoffs. Every stupid game.
So, yeah, I have seen nothing that makes me think, the Heat are going to lose game 4. I'd be sure.
I'm just saying that I don't think you can lose game 3 the way you did and come back from that.
Right.
Like, they got a foot on their neck.
That sounds bad.
Is it? Isn't that what you say?
I do think it is.
Isn't that what all the kids say?
You said it and then you just looked at me, hoping that I would.
Dead air.
I do think it is a term. Yeah. They got a foot on their neck. Going to the West, also 3-0, the Denver Nuggets. Up
Nuggets, baby!
To the Los Angeles Lakers. They won their 2 games at home, which Boston did not do. Then they went into L.A. and everybody was like, this is going to be it. The Lakers are going to come back. They're going to win 2. They're going to go back. And they didn't. They just didn't do it. Denver came in there. They took care of business.
Oh, my gosh. Did they ever. And he brought his 2 brothers, and his brothers were doing the wave bye-bye to Jack Nicholson. I love those
Come
guys.
Come on.
So
that
scary.
Guy. That
his
guy
brothers
just
are
wants,
so scary.
That's just mean. Jack Nicholson, speaking of someone who's close to death, like, just let
I saw
him.
That I saw of him courtside, I was like, is this real? How do they get him here?
He shouldn't be allowed of the house.
No. We don't want to watch him die on national television. That doesn't feel right.
Here's Johnny dying.
Jokic's brothers. Can we just talk about them for a second? So
sure.
Jokic does not look like an athlete. He looks kind of like he could be in a European mob movie as like the door guy. like just the guy that you have to see at the door who's like imposing and big, but like isn't really that like scary. His brothers, however, look like they came out of like a Serbian prison as like the top dogs. They're as big as him. I think that they're more muscular than him.
Tatted up.
Definitely have more tats than him. Like jail tats, like scary looking tats from a distance. I'm sure they're beautiful tats. I'm sure they're really nice, artful tattoos. It doesn't look that way. They only wear like Jokic jerseys and like cargo shorts that you just imagine that they must have switchblades in. Like they just look scary and they're always trolling for a fight. Like you get the impression that they go to the games so they can punch somebody.
Which is the opposite of him. Which is, like that's just not what he does.
He's the baby brother. Like that's for sure what we're seeing. I don't know the age, but for sure it's like the two older brothers who have always been protective. And they're like, we will fight everybody to get you into the NBA. You just got to go do your thing when you get there. And now they're like, they're really proud for like a hilarious reason. Like, you know, when they were on the horse farm and everyone was making fun of Jokic for practicing his basketball, the brothers would go kick the piss out of them. And now they're like, yeah, that was all worth it. I don't know what accent that was, but
that was beautiful.
Thanks.
So I have admittedly on this, I've said it on the podcast, I've watched very little Denver Nuggets basketball. They're constantly playing at 10 p.m. Eastern. Even in the playoffs, like, you know, some of the Western Conference teams, they get like those like earlier late games or the afternoon games. Even then, it was just felt like they were playing at 10 p.m. every single night. And it just wasn't in the cards. I can only handle so many 10 p.m. games. Even like I would say for the first half of like the Warrior Kings. And then I'm like, I can't even sit through all of this. Like I'm just I can't do it. I've loved it. I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Like they can hoop.
They can hoop.
It's so much fun to watch.
And I love him. Like he's just his body, the way it does things. It's like you are the biggest ballerina I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He is spinning and just like such finesse, such a soft touch. It is just marvelous to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Brontosaurus ballerina for sure. He contorts his body and like somehow he pulls off these like weird reverse layups where he both gets the foul, gets the ball in, and one limb is on one side of the basket and one limb is on the other side. It's like you kind of need like a drone over top so you can get the right scale, because I don't even know how he's in those two places at once. And Jamal Murray, like, you know, you mentioned the other day that Jokic humbly says, like, I'm the second best player on the team. And Jamal Murray is like, yeah, it's true. I'm the number one player on the team. And like he's just backing it up. He's just playing this outrageous. Remember at Christmas, I said what I really want is for Jamal Murray to get his swag back. Mm-hmm. I think I got my Christmas wish. I didn't think that was going to come true. Also, I don't really understand what we did. It didn't really make sense, the Christmas wish thing, until now. Now I'm like, oh, I should have wished something for the Raptors.
Hey, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know, man.
I don't know. Jamal Murray to get better?
Yeah.
The two of them were on historic runs.
Yeah. 30 points in the first half.
Bonkers.
From Murray. Crazy. I think that the Lakers are like making a lot of good moves. Like they've made some different changes throughout the game to try to slow Jokic down, and it's worked at times, like
sometimes,
especially down the stretch. Like they're doing things down the stretch, but it just shows
the depth of the chasm, team. It doesn't matter
the chasm between the talent of the two teams, because it's like down the stretch the Lakers are trying and they're chipping away and they're doing the thing, and it's just like they're working against a hurricane that is just like we're making forward progress, but like just not nearly fast enough.
I also don't think that Mike Malone's being given enough credit for how well he's coaching. Like,
sure.
I feel like he's got this team that not only that they have a depth of talent, but they really do have a depth of playbook. Mm-hmm. And Darvin Ham is making what on paper look like good adjustments.
Yeah.
And, you know, our favorite analyst, JJ, had nothing but really lovely things to say about Darvin Ham and the adjustments that he made.
Are you talking about Toronto Raptors coach?
Yeah, yeah, future coach of the Toronto Raptors.
I just want to keep putting it out there for you.
It's going to happen. I feel as though, and this is American sports media, the Lakers are supposed to be in the finals with Boston. There's no question that that's the script. That's what that's what NBA and ESPN and all the people who profit off of it want. Two biggest market teams, long history, blah 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 blah. Denver, small market. Miami is pretty decent, but the story that people keep talking about is Darvin Ham making these adjustments. They put Rui Hachimura and he shot 10% lower. Why is American sports media not saying Darvin Ham is making some intelligent moves, but Mike Malone is playing 7D chess because he's been with the same team for so long? And furthermore, how great was it that Rui Hachimura had a chance to shine while the Joker was taking a quarter off? Because that's more what it looked like. Because the very next game, they put the Joker on him and he lit him up. Like, he hit 6 of his first 8. And nobody came back and was like, well, it turns out the Darvin Ham experiment wasn't good. They're still praising Darvin Ham. And I think it's kind of emblematic of like how the league feels about Denver. ESPN, anybody who is covering this matchup refuses to talk about the greatness of this team. Or the potential greatness, or the depth, or the longevity, the amount of time that they spent together, the amount of time that Jamal Murray was injured and came back from the injury. There's so much history to this team. To the point that Lisa Salter, who is one of the ESPN analysts, did a whole bit. And in it, it was about Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. And she said, you know, I've never had a chance to watch this guy before, and it turns out he's pretty good. You're like, are you kidding? She probably had 5 takes on a 1-hour interview that should have lost her job. Like, if she was with any other sports company, except that ESPN was like, yeah, we don't know who this guy is. We'll call him Jordan. Let's move on. Like, they're just making it seem as though these players in this team are not deserving of something. And they're making it seem like a LeBron-led fledgling, because they just got put together, Lakers team with a first-year coach should have a ticket to the finals. Like, it's an unreasonable narrative that they're putting together, is all I'm saying. Give him credit where it's due, but don't discredit the other team, and don't give him credit where it's not due. They're down 3-0.
They are down 3-0. They are down
at the end of every single loss. They talk about how good of a job Darvin Ham is doing, and nobody says Mike Malone. Darvin's doing a great job and you seem to be out coaching him. How are you, a tenured professor of coaching, doing that with a first year coach? Please tell us. How are you doing that? We've never seen that before. Like, ESPN is just making up stupid
stories. He did give a great line ahead of game 2.
Mike Malone?
Yeah. Might have been right after game 1. I think it was after game, right before game 2. And he's just like, everybody is talking about, we won game 1 and everybody's talking about the Lakers.
Yeah.
But you know what we do? Put that in our pipe. We smoke it. We're going to win game 2. And they won game 2.
Good on him. Good on him.
Put it in our pipe and smoke it. I think the problem, look, look at Jokic. He is not a sexy basketball player in any aspect. You look at him and you're just like, this is a 2-time reigning NBA MVP? No, and yet, I don't think so.
You know who else was not a sexy looking basketball player? Larry Bird.
Sure.
Larry Bird.
I'm not saying actually an All-American.
But I'm saying, like, even structurally watching Larry Bird play, you were kind of like, how are you dominating? He was so slow.
You look at Embiid and you say, that guy should be dominant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's putting on a show. He's out there. Yeah, he's throwing his body all over the place.
Yeah.
He's doing things. That's a guy. You look at Jokic, though. He doesn't look like he should be an MVP player. And he just goes out there and he plays. He's not putting on a show. Like, in the, hey, look at me. He's just doing all the right things. He's just playing his game.
So is Jamal Murray.
And it's just
I also, listen, like, this may not be a take that anyone's here for, but the Denver Nuggets are a small market team led by the two best but most foreign players in the league. You have a European and a Canadian leading a team to the finals. This is not a story that ESPN wants. It's not. It goes against the NBA, old school NBA.
I think it'd be a fun NBA if Miami can keep.
It'd be an incredible final.
It'd be really fun.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing it. Just from a money point of view, that's not what they want. They want American-born players in the NBA that they have been cultivating as stars, not these guys who are like publicly saying they don't care about MVP awards, which is Jokic. He doesn't care about the MVP award. Give it to him. Don't give it to him. He's still going to go and race horses.
I do think it is possible for LA to win game four. It wouldn't surprise me. It would surprise me less if that happened than if the Celtics won game four. I'd be pretty shocked if the Celtics won game four, to be honest with you. I don't think that the answer is Mo Bamba for the Lakers. who I saw like, hey, we've got it. Mo Bamba's coming back. And I'm just like, guys,
there was a whole bit. Like, again, this wasn't on First Take, but on some like talking head podcast that I was listening to, one of the LA guys was like, but don't worry, Mo Bamba's coming back. And that's the body that we've needed to throw in at Jokic. He'll have him under control. I was like, why are we pretending that Mo Bamba is like Dwight Howard in his prime?
Mo Bamba is one of the most frustrating players I've watched over the past few years.
For sure. I had to watch. You know better than anyone.
He just gives up. I hated it. I was so happy when we traded him. It made me so happy. I like the guy. I think he's a swell fella. A fun guy. But I'm a fun guy. Ha ha ha. But just not the answer. I think my biggest takeaway in this playoff series, and here comes my crazy hot take, is I've always been a lot lower on Anthony Davis than everybody else is, than the narrative of Anthony Davis. Yeah. And these playoffs have made me just go, I've been right the whole time.
Yeah.
Because just because every other game you are putting up big numbers doesn't mean that you are great. You're not great. Great players are consistent, and great players can go against people like Jokic and at least put up a challenge. Anthony Davis being moved off of Jokic is
tells you everything.
It tells you everything. Like, he just doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
That, to me, I think on a lot of shows, that is a crazy hot take.
Not on this show, though. Not on the people's show.
You're fortunate that you get to sit in the studio with one of the biggest haters. And I am not an Anthony Davis fan. I have long thought that he was a fraud. Also, I've never really gotten on board with branding a unibrow. I think that set the wrong tone for me. I was like, that's what you're going to do? That's the first thing you're doing out of university in the NBA? You're going to trademark a unibrow? Why don't you do this? Why don't you get a gym membership and work out? Why don't you get better first? So yeah, he's not been my guy. I saw what you saw. I just felt like and when him and LeBron teamed up, I didn't think it was that strange, because I thought that LeBron was the type of player who could LeBron's very good at forcing everyone to play to people's strengths. Like, he somehow gets the other team to want him to go right, even though he's always going to beat you when he goes right. And teams know. Teams game plan to force LeBron to go left. And then somehow in the game, he sets things up on the court and such. He's just so smart that all of a sudden you open a lane for his right hand, and he's like, well, much obliged. And he just like kind of strolls in. And I feel like he's actually really good at getting all of the players on his team to be in a position that they can work on work to the things that they're very good at. And it's a rare team like a Denver that can kind of expose those those flaws. And I think that Anthony Davis is getting exposed quite a bit by this Denver setup, who are able to switch. They don't really have the right height to guard him, but it doesn't really matter because their defensive scheme, shout out to Mike Malone, makes sense. Like, it's game planned to disrupt him and to let him get the things that he's going to get. It doesn't cost them anything. They're like, yeah, if he wants to grab 40 points or grab 20 rebounds and hit 40 points, go for it. We're just going to make sure that all of his role players are on the dark side of that moon. Like, they're not hitting anything. Then all of a sudden, he's on an island. You could do whatever you want on that island. You're not going to stop LeBron, so you can account for 60 points between the two of them. And then what? Who else is giving you money? No one's there. I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all. Okay. I was going to go back to the unibrow. But I think
I will say one other thing really quickly is I would be completely happy if the Orlando Magic backed up the Brinks truck on Austin Reeves this offseason.
I was just about to say that.
Because
I was about to say that for the Raptors.
Dude, but like if you look at the Magic, he's the type of player that we're missing. Like a true shooter. Man, and he's a restricted free agent. We have the money. Freaking just go for it.
And you have the picks.
Don't care if you overspend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just go for it.
Depending on what happens this year, I mean, who knows? Who knows what LeBron's plan is beyond this year? But I would make the argument that your team is uniquely positioned to hand over two pretty valuable picks to a smart GM in exchange for an Austin Reeves.
Mm. I don't know if he's like, worth a 11 and 6. I don't know.
I think he is. I think based on what you have, I would sooner say, like, if you want to give the point to Markel, give the point to Markel full time. Trade Gary Harris. Kind of had a painful season, and see if you can get a better backup point guard on the cheap, which I bet you could. And then build around a starting five that actually can do some damage. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's like sitting in the back of our minds is there's a player out there in the draft, Grady Dick, who's like an amazing shooter and like could be that, and we could get him. So it's like, but you roll the die. Like Austin Reeves seems like a sure thing at this point.
Austin's also played with LeBron. Right. Like if you're inheriting a guy who played with LeBron, the other guy, I mean, I know you're not hot on this, and I'm hoping my team holds on to him. But if my team lets Fred VanVleet go, the Magic would be the stupidest ball team in the league to not make a play for him and let Markel back up FVV.
I don't want to have this conversation with you. We're not going to be friends anymore.
You'll get the leader that you need.
We need to know. We need to know when to stop, and this is when to stop.
I'll give you Austin and Fred.
This is what I'll say. I think it's pretty clear. We're going to have a Lakers Heat finals, which makes this episode a little less exciting. A Lakers Heat. Oh, sorry. see, I'm pushing a narrative, and I'm not even meaning to.
Yeah, I know.
Nuggets Heat finals, which is fine. There's a potential if this is done by tomorrow night, we've got like a week and some change before the finals start. Like, I don't even know what I'm gonna do. Finals don't start until June 1st.
Oh wow, they won't.
Yeah.
Oh,
they won't move it up. No.
Well, that's weird.
Because, you know, like TV stuff and whatnot.
I was just looking up, when's the last time there's been a double sweep in the East and West Conference?
It's a good question.
It is. It's kind of a convoluted answer from what I can... Like, I'm not getting a clear answer. The first thing that I saw was like 1975.
Wow.
It feels like I'd have to do a lot of reading. That might not actually be the answer.
You don't need to do a lot of reading. Anyway, I don't know what next week holds for us because we typically record on Monday. It's Memorial Day here in the States, which means we're off and I'm home.
Right.
But we will, I think, at the very least, have an episode out before the finals start next Thursday. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, we'll figure that out, especially if there's a double sweep here.
Anything else you want to add for the people?
I got nothing.
Bingo, bingo. We'll be back next week. Until then, dribble, dribble.
Woo!
In full sweet trust. Game!
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.